You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, what in the Sam Hill is going on?
Are we weather aware?
I'm weather aware.
The weather.com, you know, the red exclamation point, be scared icon thingy, included the word severe thrice, which tells me that they think that whatever weather we're getting is going to be severe.
Did one of you say to me right before we came to air, lemon-sized hail?
No. Lime-sized hail. Because
Well, lime and lemon are basically the same size.
One might think if you were going to pick a fruit, you would go with lemon.
Or plum.
Apricot? I don't know if we'll have time.
Ooh, larger than an apricot.
The Kansas City Star is reporting lime-sized hail.
Smaller than a grapefruit.
It's possible. And I'm going to tell you, in 30 years covering this town, I do not ever think I have heard that specific fruit used in reference to hail.
I think I thought we always went with coins and balls.
Ping pong ball.
Baseball.
Golf ball-sized hail. You've heard of ping pong ball-sized hail.
Nickel.
And then you go down to quarter and nickel. Who threw in the lime?
Maybe there's not a ball that is the same size as a lime.
Do you know what would be crazy? Banana-sized tail.
A tennis ball is roughly the same size as a lime, is it not?
Well, but the lime has the lime is more football shaped.
It's more oblong.
It is more oblong, Scott. Yes.
Huh. Okay.
So we'll talk to Buzzfeed.
Am I going to be on the phone with USAA again tomorrow?
I don't know, Scott.
I literally just got my roof replaced.
You and your roof. I don't know. I know that we've got to worry about the lime-sized tail. I know that look up carefully. We are in the middle of a 300 million bird migration. We are in the bullseye.
For the love of Christ.
Of the bird migration. So be careful if you are looking up for lime-sized tail. You could, you know, also get something else. There's a lot of birds up there right now.
What's up, brother?
My gosh. You know, I'm sorry I told her about the Merlin app, you know?
I can't be stopped, Brian.
So, Brian, were you the one who told her about the Merlin app?
Remember when I was dropping off Sam's stuff, his jerky air material?
Yeah.
And I told her about it? Mm. Yeah. I don't know if I was the first, but I was one of, I guess, a flock, pardon the pun.
Mm-hmm. Busby, we've graduated on to the full-on bird feeder camera.
$7.98 a month.
And we do have someone with the Audubon Society joining us today at 3 o'clock.
I'm just glad that you have not gotten the bird feeder helmet, which you can wear, kind of like a visor in front of you so that they can actually be right in front of you, the hummingbirds.
Brian, only because it's on back order, only because that's on back order on Amazon, I tried, and they are not currently shipping those to the United States.
Thank God.
Let's talk about the lime-sized hail. When did we start throwing fruit into the mixture here?
Oh, we got grapefruit-sized hail for a while.
Okay.
According to David Letterman, we've had hail the size of canned ham. But of course, he's not a meteorologist.
So what are you...
Yeah, he was in Indianapolis talking about that.
What are you anticipating to this afternoon and when?
Okay, well, first of all, the front's moving through. This is kind of odd. Usually you look for the heavier thunderstorms to be ahead of the front. Our winds have turned around to the north, and so a lot of these thunderstorms will form behind the front. The best chances will be farther south of the I-70 corridor, mainly on the Kansas side. We will see the possibility of very large hail. I'm thinking that's the number one priority. Gusty winds will be number two. Torrential rainfall, number three. The timeline between 4 o'clock when they're going to start forming, and then the window should shut about 8 or 9 o'clock this evening. So the farther north you travel, the more likely it's not as much a concern. The farther south you are, the farther west you are, which I know is really making Dana scratch her head and look the map on the wall. You would probably have a better chance of it lingering a little longer into that time frame.
Well, I just got my roof replaced, Brian.
Wait a minute. You mean the dome of the Western Shawnee did not work?
Well, we're going to put the dome up this afternoon. We will. But if it doesn't work, I'm going to have to get my roof replaced again.
But I'm saying the first time you had it replaced, it wasn't up in time to... rain, not hail?
No, it was hail. I mean, it was like baseball
size. Was it lime-sized?
It was lime-sized hail, Brian, that was coming down. It looked like lemons.
Kiwi, I could see. Kiwi fruit, yeah. You know, we've been doing this for a while just because it's much easier for people to recognize shapes and sizes. We used to say marble size hail, but so many different sizes of marbles.
Yeah.
Decided not to do that. Yeah. So anyway, a lime size is one I've not heard in a while. So it's going to be bigger than quarter, maybe not quite the size of baseball. So somewhere in between.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, boss.
Be safe, my friend.
And remember, it does not mean every time a thunderstorm forms, you're going to get one of those. It's only a couple that'll be that strong. So consider yourself lucky in that you are actually, the odds are in your favor, that you're not going to be underneath one of these big guys.
Okay.
Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby, KNBC. Thank you for your time.
Always appreciate it. Where do we go now?
So many things.
Wait. We have somebody from the Audubon Society?
It's Audubon.
Not Audubon.
No, it's the Audubon Society of Kansas, because they didn't answer at the Greater Kansas City Audubon Society. Separate,
and
but different.
Audubonners, Audo with a D, yep. Audubonners are people who...
They're birders.
They study birds.
One of the things I want to know, the St. Louis Arch, today and tonight, maybe for the next several days I read, is going dark. They are not going to light the arch. Because we're all being asked,
don't they have to
dim the lights so as the birds are migrating, they don't donk into things and fall from the sky like
what about
lime-sized
aircraft?
Those are important.
I think the flashing lights for aircraft will remain, but they're not going to light the entire.
I do believe the red lights are okay. It's the white lights that really confuse the birds. I'm still stuck on the fact that we have one letter difference from people who like to drive whatever speed they want to on the highway. And people who like birds.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the Autobahn.
That's my point.
We're talking about an Audubon.
Okay. All right.
Here it is right now. For migrating waterfowl, the Gateway Arch will go dark the month of September to help migrating birds. The lights illuminating the Gateway Arch will be turned off throughout the month to reduce light pollution, which can disorient birds and interfere with their migratory patterns. In Kansas and Missouri, we are right smack dab in the middle of that migratory pattern right now. Yes, my favorite student in the front row.
Professor.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be wiser to light the arch so the birds could actually see it? Otherwise, as they migrate, they end up hitting the arch and they don't even know it was there.
No, they become disoriented and they collide due to all of the artificial lights that we have all over
around
us.
Isn't that Darwinism?
They start to fly toward the light. They're blinded by the lights, revved up like a deuce.
Okay. Get out.
In the middle of the night.
In the running of the night.
We will talk to someone from the Audubon Society coming up. Turn off all your lights tonight, people, except on the highway. Don't do that.
Hey, the arch is going to look like the rest of St. Louis, dark and desolate.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Wow.
You want people to turn off their lights?
You are supposed to cut down.
What about streetlights?
This month, you are supposed to cut down on noise pollution to the extent that you can.
Well, lights don't make noise.
It's light pollution.
It's light pollution. It's like city, you know, birds in the country are happier. That's all I know.
You did say noise pollution.
You did say noise pollution.
Well, with lights come noise, Scott.
What noise does a light make?
It's very faint.
Is it like...
Yeah, it is actually.
Okay.
No, I've always wondered on the call for everybody to turn their porch lights off and their sidewalk lights off. When there's a street light right in front of me, that's not going to turn off.
If everyone does it at the same time, it helps the birds. Why can't you just be a friend to all feathered things?
I don't even turn on my house lights at night because I have this gigantic bright street light in my yard. I've never had to turn on a light outside of my house.
I, too, have a street light right in my front
yard. And it's bright.
Sam and I looked this up tonight, specifically anytime after, wasn't it 4 o'clock today? Yep. It's 300 million birds are migrating above us.
How do they know that? Did we do a census?
Yes, no, they track it on radar, Scott.
Okay.
That's not directly above us. That is a stretch from western Kansas to east Illinois.
And where are they going?
South.
Okay.
As birds
radar systems are used to track migratory bird patterns by detecting the large numbers of birds in the air, which appears as colorful, expanding, donut-shaped patterns called roost rings just before sunrise or as large masses during migration.
Okay.
There is a live bird migration map. I will share it with you. It is really fascinating. If you zoom in.
I'm not willing to make the jump.
Look, if you zoom in on Kansas City at 4 o'clock today, this is what me and Sam did. Look at all the yellow. They're all right above us this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And now we're throwing limes at them.
Mm. What jump are we talking about making?
The jump from normal 50-year-old woman to birder freak.
Right.
I joined the Audubon Society.
Speaking of roosters.
Whoa.
No.
I asked for more information.
Did you join or did you ask for more information?
I reached out and I asked for more information.
Do you have a membership?
No, but I have a woman calling in at 3:15 to talk about migratory bird patterns above us.
And she's with the Audubon.
Oh, she's the executive director of the Audubon Society. Okay.
And what does one do when you're a member of the Audubon Society?
It's social in nature. There are
demented,
seminars.
But social.
There are seminars that one may or may not attend if one chooses.
Do you guys get together and show each other pictures from your bird camera?
Yes. Yes.
Discounts at restaurants and movie theaters?
The first cafeteria in particular.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Man, we have new, really disturbing details about the Ding Dong Ditch murder of the 11-year-old in Houston this week. Authorities have just upgraded the charges to capital murder against the homeowner who is accused of rounding the corner outside and shooting that 11-year-old in the back as he ran down the street.
Rounding the corner? What?
Yes. We thought he was inside the house, Sam. The details that are coming out are just awful. The boys had been ding-dong ditching this house prior.
Repeatedly.
Like three times, four times, Sam, and running.
Okay.
Prosecutors are now saying that the homeowner got his gun, waited for them, like lying in wait, like a psychotic person.
What?
Waited for the kids to do it again and then stepped out from behind a gate.
Hello?
Stepped out from behind a gate and opened fire as they were running down the street.
Well, then he deserves to be charged with capital murder.
SWAT team took him into custody. There was a bond hearing this afternoon. Authorities requested a $1 million bond because authorities now say he was waiting for the children to return.
He was lying in wait.
Yes, this is not going to be a case where he could say, well, I thought it was a 55-year-old guy.
I thought they were
trying to rob me.
Yeah.
He saw the kids.
He knew that they were coming
knew
back.
Knew that they were kids. Knew that they were coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I guarantee you he did not. I bet you he reacted aggressively the first few times, which is why the kids came back. Back in my day of ding-dong ditching,
yep.
If you chased after us, you guaranteed that you were getting ding-dong ditched the next time.
Yep. That's right.
The capital murder
potentially carries the death penalty.
Yes, it does. And we were talking about this off the air. The man also has his own young son who was home at the time of the alleged murder. Capital murder, the most serious murder charge there is, typically involving factors that make the crime, quote, especially heinous or egregious and elevate it to above a, quote, typical homicide. It theoretically could make him eligible for the death penalty.
And I'm just spitballing here. And Sam, you bring up a good point. You know, when we would ding dong ditch, if we got a reaction, it was probably more likely that we were coming back. Right. But the fact that this guy has a young son, you have to wonder, is that the reason they were ding-dong ditching on that house? Not necessarily the dad, but the son. You know, this might be bully. Interesting question, yeah. I'm not excusing the kid's behavior. I mean, it's dumb. It's immature. We've all done it.
They knocked on the door, by the way, and ran. There wasn't an actual ding-dong in the ding-dong ditch prank. They were knocking and running and then knocking and running.
Okay.
They were on their way back home from a family party. They were walking home. This kid's house was a block away.
They probably had ding-dong ditched him in the past, and I'll repeat myself again. If there's an aggressive reaction from the ding-dong ditching,
you're more likely
to do it.
You're
guaranteed that they're going to get ding-dong ditch you again.
But his behavior, the homeowner's, the suspect, is so far above and beyond normal.
Correct.
That if he ends up with the death penalty for shooting an 11-year-old kid in the back, I don't have a problem with that.
A judge agreed to set the bail at $1 million.
Over a stupid game. I mean, that's what ding-dong ditching is. It's a game.
Yeah. It's prank calling. We used to, you know, back in the days when there were actual phone books, we would just randomly pick people out of the phone
book. Is your refrigerator running?
Yeah. Well, you better go catch it. I mean, it was just stupid stuff like that.
Let me ask you this, Scott. A lot has been made today, and his own attorney is talking about this, that this alleged shooter happens to be a veteran of the United States Army for 3 years.
For 3 years.
He had an arsenal in his house.
Not even a full commission.
All I know is he is a disabled veteran of the United States Army for 3 years. Everywhere I look online, you know, former Army person.
Veteran.
Yes. Is accused of this. Why does it matter that he served? Whether he served 3 years or 20 years.
Disabled how?
Because
that was where I was going to go.
Disabled is the first time I've read that in this story. CNN just kept reporting it was an Army veteran. Okay. Why is everyone pointing that out? Because it's even worse because you should know the rules of, quote, engagement, that you don't shoot an 11-year-old who's running from your house.
Was he combat disabled or disabled in some other fashion?
Why does it matter?
If he was disabled in combat, that is extreme PTSD. And while the reaction to a kid knocking on your door over and over again late at night is not to pull out your gun and shoot them, it could send them into a PTSD episode where they're not comprehending reality as it is.
I'm only going to correct you by saying if he was wounded in combat, the potential for PTSD. My dad was shot 6 times. He did not have PTSD. Ever.
But that would be the lawyer's
argument. I think we're being very generous here, but I wonder if that's why the attorney is pointing out he's a veteran, and we don't know that.
But what
he could be disabled because he got glaucoma. I mean, right. We don't know.
And what I'm pointing out is that a normal commission in the Army is 4 years. If he only served three, why? Was he combat wounded and left the military early? Why didn't he not finish that commission? And there could be any number of reasons. I'm not even going to begin to speculate on why he only did 3 years of a 4-year commission.
His attorney acknowledged that the weapons in Gonzalez's home were part of him exercising his constitutional rights and that he has no criminal history.
Okay, fine. He hasn't been arrested. He legally obtained guns. Why is he shooting down a residential street at 11-year-old kids, allegedly?
I would have been shocked and saddened and horrified had he even not known who he was shooting at running away. This
You're
is
shooting
why,
at somebody running
but wait,
away.
That's why I'm saying still illegal, still murder. There is now, based on the evidence and the witnesses, because keep in mind there were neighbors, there is now evidence that the kids did this 3 or 4 times. He knew that these were kids. He can't even say, well, I was protecting my castle. Right. No, you weren't.
Adults don't ding-dong dash.
No, that's not usually what an adult does.
I don't think I've
and
done that since
And an 11-year-old does not look like an adult. I've seen a photo of this kid.
Right.
He's a little guy.
There's no excuse. There is no excuse.
That would be a very small adult, yeah.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks.
So court documents and investigators say the boys knocked on the door 3 times in a span of 15 minutes. On the third knock, Leon, the suspect, was waiting in the shadows on the side of his house. He allegedly first fired a warning shot into the ground before shooting the 11-year-old as he ran down the sidewalk. And according to the prosecutor in court today, the 11-year-old was filming on his cell phone when the entire thing.
He filmed his own murder.
He filmed his own death. Yes, Scott.
The firing the gun into the ground is still a bridge too far for me. But why not leave it at that?
But should have been where it stopped, yeah.
You know, shoot your gun into the ground, fine, cut it out. I'm armed. Don't keep coming back to this house. What is the benefit of shooting down the street? I don't get it.
And probably he wasn't thinking about what the benefit is. He was solely acting on rage.
Jim in Topeka, 586-7798. Hello, Jim.
Well, at least he was intelligent enough to shoot the ground once first, and that's exactly where it should have stopped. And in my day, there was other things that you would have done that would have scared the hell out of them to where that they would have never done it again. And one of them would have been shooting the ground. Two would have been using blanks. Three was the old-timey shotgun with the rock salt in it. Now, that will get you, especially if it's fired low and what have you. But to do what he did, no, he deserves every bit of punishment that can be doled out. Rage, no rage, whatever. It doesn't matter. He wasn't thinking, and he shouldn't have a gun.
There's no justifying it, Jim. Thank you for the call. And I will disagree. I don't think it's okay to shoot toward the sidewalk or on the ground to scare away an 11-year-old.
And I said...
This is on a residential...
I agree.
...street packed with houses.
I said that was a bridge too far.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
But if you're going to shoot into the ground, at least, all right, fine, whatever.
You know, all of the responsible gun owners always say you are responsible for every single bullet that comes out of that
gun. I mean, if he was lying in wait, which he was, as they approach for at least the third time, right?
Yeah.
Why not jump out of the bushes and go, you know, I got you. Get away. Leave me alone. Scare these kids. I mean, if I was 11 years old, and how old is this guy?
42.
Okay, I beg your pardon. And a 42-year-old man jumped out of the bushes. I am going to run screaming.
And never go back.
And never go back. That's exactly right. Why not just jump out of the bushes and say, got ya? And then these kids, they wet themselves and they run down the street and they never come back again. Okay. If you missed it earlier today, ABC News, through tears, a group of women who say they were victimized by Jeffrey Epstein shared their stories on the steps of Capitol Hill today as they called on lawmakers to support the release of records that the Department of Justice has so far withheld from Congress. Quoting here from Marina Lacerda, one of the central witnesses in Epstein's 2019 indictment. This is not a hoax. It is not going to go away. Another woman who is a survivor, and I don't say this jokingly, I can't pronounce her name, and I'm not going to butcher it, said the victims are coming together to have their voices be heard. Quote, the days of sweeping this under the rug, they are over. We, the survivors, say no more. I'm no longer weak. I am no longer powerless, and I'm no longer alone. And with your vote, neither will the next generation.
The only thing the government is solidifying with this seal is the conspiracy theories abound. It'll never end. I don't want to compare this to the JFK assassination, but this will be one of those cases because of the secrecy where they're saying we're not going to release the documents. Why not?
Who are you protecting?
He is dead.
Yep.
Some of the victims are dead. Anyone that was involved committed a crime. So the only thing you are doing in saying, no, we're not going to release that is spreading the fear and the rumors and the conspiracy theories that there was something much bigger going on. I'm not saying there wasn't something much bigger going on.
Is there a solid chance there are no files?
No.
No. There were too many people in high places connected to him.
But that's
my
point. He would have gotten word that the FBI was coming to raid his island.
But Sam, if you look back, was it the Variety editor or the Vogue editor that ran the story and he threatened her life? Remember?
It was Variety.
The first time that a publication really dug deep into everything that was going on with him was what, 15 years ago? Like 15 years before the last charges were filed. And so there are files, Sam, that go back, and that's part of the problem. You're going to ask state police, local police, and the feds, why was all of this being investigated way back when you had evidence he had a 12-year-old that he was bringing in and out, or a 14-year-old he was bringing in and out, and no charges were ever filed? Why?
But that's investigation files. The theory is, and when I feel like when we talk about the conspiracy theories and release the files, we're talking about some master hard drive that was taken from his island, taken from his Manhattan estate.
No.
All the files.
No, what they're talking about, when people are saying release the files, these are not files that Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell created for themselves. Okay?
It could be.
Well,
it's
yes,
the entire investigative file.
But what they're really talking about is the investigation in 2007, 2008 that was conducted by the federal government, the FBI, and then the investigation leading up to his indictment in 2019. These are government law enforcement files that people are saying we want released. These are not the files, you know, the client list, which probably doesn't even exist.
It was 2005 the first criminal investigation into him was opened.
Now, one of the things, and there were a lot of these women, they're now women, but back then probably girls, who were on the steps of the Capitol today. And it was remarkable to see people like Congressman Ro Khanna and Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene standing side by side, two political polar opposites, who are demanding the release of these files, that these women be heard. And the women said, if the government does not release the client list or a client list, because I'm sure it is in the FBI files, we will concoct our own and release it.
But that's my point exactly, is there's this thought that they went in and they secured all these hard drives. How do we know that he wasn't tipped off in some way? Because the allegation is that he has all these connections in high places. So if he has a direct tie to the FBI director, right, just throwing hypotheticals out here, would the FBI director not call up his buddy and say, hey, man, they're coming to the island. You might want to do something about all those files, because we know you have cameras in every single room.
The original indictment, Sam, in 2007, the draft indictment included 60 criminal counts against him. This is the one that makes everyone so mad, that in 2007 he had 60 criminal counts against him for basically raping girls, underage girls.
1,000.
And that's when that non-disclosure agreement was struck between the feds and his lawyers. And the victims weren't even told about it.
Maxwell is clinging to, because he was given amnesty.
Oh, it's unbelievable. How does that happen? 60
because
counts.
Because you are connected with very powerful and rich men. What is the government hiding? It's a simple question. What is the government hiding? This is not a hoax. No matter what some people say, this is not a hoax. This man ran a human sex trafficking ring. Very powerful men, among them Prince Andrew, went to this island. Now, who else did? And who else participated in this clearly illegal activity?
We have the flight log.
Just because you're on a flight doesn't mean you participated in illegal activity.
But again, that's my point, is I don't think there is a list. I think it was destroyed. I think that's why they're not releasing anything.
I think they're not releasing anything because they're very powerful, rich men who would be horribly embarrassed. Some of these women today who were at this news conference say that they are followed to take their kid to school by people they don't know.
And they don't know why.
Right.
So who is that?
I don't know.
And therein lies the problem with keeping those files sealed.
There was one woman who said, I was taking my daughter to school the other day, and I look in my rearview mirror, and there is a man in a car following me. There is no child in his car.
Oh, I've watched way too many documentaries about the victims.
She drops her daughter off. He confronts her and says, watch yourself.
Yeah.
Watch yourself. I mean, the courage of these women to stand on the Capitol steps today, even though many of them have been threatened, I'm sure many of them fear for their lives and their families' lives, and to speak truth to power, that took a lot of guts. Now, what is the government hiding? The government is hiding something.
It's not political, because it could have been released 2 years ago.
You're
exactly
right.
Why wasn't it released 2 years ago?
Because I think that...
Well, it is and it isn't. I think there are probably names in those files.
In the FBI files.
From every side of every aisle.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And everybody is saying, don't put them out. and they're putting horrible, whether you're an R or a D in the White House, there are people who have a lot of money, who have a lot of power, who are, people are always saying, well, you know, if Trump was in the files, you know, Biden would have released it. No, 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 not necessarily. Because who else was in the file that Biden didn't want to embarrass? Bill Clinton?
I bet that list is very long.
The first hint of an investigation was in 2005. Yeah. Go back all of those years.
And why was there a sweetheart deal made in 2008? Hmm. Alex Acosta. 913-586. I love a good conspiracy theory. 913.
I've turned you, man. You thought I was crazy when I started working here.
she thinks that I've ruined her. You've ruined me.
You're welcome. Welcome to the light. It's a dark place.
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
All right, so you guys have probably heard about the Sunday scaries. What about the September scaries?
Explain what Sunday scaries are for those who don't know.
Sunday scaries are that feeling that you get, like when you hear the 60 minutes clock.
You have them, I do not.
I do, where I'm like, there's this dread and this heaviness because the weekend is over and you've got stuff to do the next week. You know, it's just that kind of like, ugh, feeling.
The stress of the impending week sets in, your freedom is over, and you're back to the grind.
So just as there are Sunday scaries, there are September scaries for the exact same reason. And I felt this the first time I saw Mums out in front of the grocery store. I went, no, because I dread the winter and the cold. So listen to this from the New York Times. If January is the Monday of the calendar year, summer is clearly the weekend. June is Friday. July is Saturday. August is lazy, delicious, fretful Sunday, which is why so many of us currently find ourselves in the grips of the September scaries. Those familiar with the concept will recognize the feeling. It's a combination of dread, regret, and anticipation that accompanies the end of a communal pause and the beginning of a hectic and demanding time. You can blame it in part on our collective fantasy of summer, right?
Yeah.
And think about this, like when it's time to go back to school, you don't remember that dread, Scott, at the end of the summer, as the summer was winding down and you start to see the school supplies in the aisles, that pit, you didn't get a pit in your stomach that, oh, like we got to go back?
No.
Really?
I don't get dread. I get excitement. Like in March, I get excited. It's spring is back. In the fall, I get excitement. Football season's back. You know, nice weather, you know, sit out on the back patio. I don't get this, like, when you talk about the Sunday, what do they call the Sunday?
Scaries.
Scaries. Where the 60 minutes clock is ticking and you're like,
oh.
No, I'm like, wow, here comes an hour of some kick-ass journalism.
Now, I will tell you this. You know what makes it easier for me, and you're going to laugh? Football. Because that is a distraction. Oh, well, the Chiefs are on. You know what I mean? That is the best distraction to the Sunday or September scaries.
Okay.
And is part of it that we have too much free time now? And maybe. I know that sounds really weird.
I don't know that anybody's accused Americans of having too much free time.
I understand that. But, you know, I was making a comment to Mary Beth about our weekend, and I was like, man, we did so much this weekend. And then I thought about it, and I was like, we really didn't do that many things. We did like eight things. It's not a lot, you know?
Eight is a lot. Well, eight is what a do you lot. Mean?
That's two a day.
But so many Americans do nothing now on the weekends. Absolutely nothing. They're so burnt out from their week that they just go and they sit for 2 days, and then they get super anxious because they're like, wow, I got to do stuff tomorrow. And as Dana mentioned, if you do stuff,
Hang on, Sam. Do you really think that Americans, by and large, spend weekends just sitting around on their fat butts? And I mean, even on days where I don't have, on like a Saturday or Sunday, where we don't have anything on the calendar, I'm still going for a walk. I'm working out in the yard.
We do a lot of yard stuff right now.
I think that the number would shock you of how many people do absolutely nothing on a weekend. If you have a home, you do yard work, but how many people don't have homes now?
You are really Debbie Downer today.
Right?
How many Americans don't have homes and can't afford to eat?
Well, I'm not Debbie Downer. I'm being realistic.
Well, Sam, tens and tens of maybe more than 100 million people in America have homes.
Well, yeah, and I'm not saying that everybody just sits around and does nothing, but I was talking about
that's
the Sunday Scaries as
said.
A whole. Okay.
You said Americans are fat and lazy.
That's sort of what he said.
Well, the statistics bear that out.
Anyway, what they say to help you get over the September Scaries.
The whole point I was making was get up and do stuff.
Is get up and do stuff.
That's all I was trying to say.
That is the remedy
okay. For
the Sunday and or September Scaries.
The grass is greener on your side if you get up and water the grass. That was my whole point.
Okay. Well, now that the two of you are new homeowners, I'm sure on Sunday night at 6, you're not watching 60 Minutes and feeling
dreadful
about tomorrow. You're out in the yard.
We're mulching.
You're looking at birds. Which, by the way,
I cannot wait. We have someone from the Audubon Society of Kansas joining us in the 3 o'clock hour. Audubon. Because right now, there are 300 million birds migrating right over Kansas and Missouri in the next, little bit here. Don't look up with your mouth open.
Okay. Quick break. News coming up in 2 minutes. I go over there. Sam Stevie III. That is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. We'll see you right after the news here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.